Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Okay, now we're going to come around the Word of God in just a moment. I just want to say this, that we've got this great series, His Table. How many people here last weekend heard Pastor Phil preaching on the benefits of the table? And of course, he preached on healing. And it's just amazing that, you know, from the table of God, the healing power of Christ, the saving power of God, the relational blessings that come forth into our worlds, and so much more come from the table of God. So I'm lying in bed, I'm thinking, well, what can I speak on that's going to talk about the table of God? Because I actually had this message sort of lined up. I said, how does that all work? And then I thought, okay, last week we heard what we get from the table. But this morning, I want to speak on what you and I can bring to the table. You know, I mean, how many people have received from the table of God? How many people have been saved, been healed, been blessed financially? Their families have been blessed. It's wonderful what we receive from the table of God. But you know what? I don't want us to just be spectators, like the 58,000 people who watched the Wallabies beat the Lions last night. And that's awesome. But they're not the heroes. The spectators aren't the heroes. It's the 15 guys out on the pitch that are the heroes. And I don't want us just to be spectators or to be consumers. I want us to be participants. And I want us to be producers. So not only can we receive from the table of God, we can bring something to the table of God which will bless the community in which we live and the world round about us. Is that right? Let's give Jesus a big hand right now for the table of God and what we can bring to it. So I want you to turn your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 35. And I'll just set it for you right now. The children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt. There's 3 million of them in the wilderness. In fact, that's almost the population of New Zealand in the wilderness. And actually, there's a bit of an analogy there, isn't there? I want to confess this morning that I'm a refugee from a third world country. I've come to the promised land of Australia. And it's awesome, and I do love Australia, except when they're playing the All Blacks, then I revert. Then I backslide into my old ways. But anyway. But the children of Israel, they're coming out of Egypt. God, and I was just thinking about this morning, actually, and they've been slaves for 300 years, and God gives them favor, as Pastor Richard was saying this morning. You know, you get favor from God, and as they were leaving, all the Egyptians just piled them gold, silver, precious stones, and fabric, and all this sort of stuff, and they came with this incredible bounty out of Egypt into the wilderness. But here they are, and of course, as we know, that later on, they'll be 40 years in the wilderness on their way to the promised land of God's blessing for their lives. But God speaks to them in the wilderness and he says, listen, I want you to build a tabernacle. I want you to build something for me in the wilderness that's going to bring me glory and it's going to bring the people of Israel great blessings. Build the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now you and I would think, I would have thought, well, surely God would wait for the children of Israel to arrive at the promised land and then build something for him. And it's like that in our lives. We sort of say, oh God, I'll do something for you when I arrive. When my life's all together. When those habits in my life, you know who you are this morning, God bless you. But you know what I mean? We're all dealing with stuff, aren't we? And we're all on a journey and we're trying to get our lives together. And God, when I get this area of my life together, then I'll do something for God. But God says, no, I want where you're at right now. In spite of all the stuff, while you're still on the journey, on the way to being the person God's called you to be, listen, where you are right now, build something for me. Build something for me. Come on, let's give God a hand right now. Let's bring something to the table right now in spite of all our stuff. And so right here, and so we're going to go through this from Exodus chapter 35 and verse 30. And we'll go through to 36 verse 7. I'll just preach a bit of an expository message for you this morning. But here we go. It begins here, it says, verse 30, Exodus 35, then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri. And this was the guy who was to head up the building program, this guy, Bezalel. And here's the thing, God chose Bezalel, and I want you to know this morning that God has chosen you and I to build something for him. Point one, you're chosen to build. Everybody say chosen to build. You see, you are not an accident. You've been chosen by God. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5 says this, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not an accident. You're not an accident. You see, evolution teaches, you know, you're a cosmic fluke. You know, there was this big explosion in outer space and all these particles suddenly over billions of years. I think Dr. Evil preaches that, Dr. Billions of years, you know, somehow all this stuff happened and then, you know, there's amoeba crawled out of the swamp and it developed into a human. I mean, hello, goo to you via the zoo. I don't get it. It's ridiculous, but, you know, somehow you're just a cosmic fluke and you just sort of happen to be here and then you're just going into a nebulous, you know, there's no future, there's no purpose, there's no eternity. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches me. The Bible teaches us that you existed before the creation of the world in the mind and imagination of Almighty God. In fact, Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 says this, for he, that's God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us. I don't know how it all works, actually. I haven't got a clue, but I know this, that before God formed the world, before he spoke it into being, before the first words in the Bible, Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light. He had seen us. He had seen you. He had seen me. He had seen our kids. He had seen our families. In his mind, he said, I have chosen this person. I've got a plan, and I've got a purpose for their life. I'm going to use them to build my house here on earth. Come on, let's give God a hand. It's exciting. It's exciting. Oh, yeah. Come on. People say, oh, you know, Australians, they don't get excited in church. And you go, why? Well, because they're very laid back, mellow people. I wonder how mellow and laid back the Lings were last night when Adam Ashley Cooper scored the winning try. I mean, at a game of football, we get excited. Is that right? How much more should we get excited with the fact that God's got a plan for all of our lives? We need to get excited. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you. It's awesome. It's awesome. And so here we go. We're excited. Okay. You were created by God and for God. You are chosen to build. Secondly, you're anointed to build. Anointed to build. Look, just go down a little bit further. The next verse, verse 31. Verse 30 says, Moses, I've chosen Bezalel. Verse 2, and he has filled him, verse 31, whatever. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God. Listen, you're anointed to build. Not only, and if I was a Pentecostal preacher, which I am, you know, you're chosen to build. And God's willed to build. And you're filled to build. Glory to God. And the third point is you're going to be skilled to build. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Glory to God. It's awesome. But you're anointed to build. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 4, or is it 4? Zechariah 4, 6 says this. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Look, and thank God for our talents and our abilities, which I'm going to look at in my next point. It's awesome, and you're awesome, and it's fantastic. But you know what? What we are and what we've got isn't enough to get the job done. Is that right? The job's too big. What do we need? Or rather, who do we need? We need God. We need the Holy Spirit anointing us to get the job done. And my little definition of the anointing is this. It says, the anointing is the enabling power of God by the Holy Spirit to be whom God has called us to be and to do what God has called us to do. And it's not, you're not a human doing, you're a human being. But out of the being comes the doing. And when you know who you are and why you're here, out of that comes the doing. And so it's the anointing. And it's interesting, Zechariah 4:6 is in the context of a building project. They're trying to rebuild the temple. Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and all those guys, Ezra, they've all come back and they're rebuilding the temple of God. And there's this mountain of opposition. There's political pressure on them, stopping them. In fact, the building program was suspended and put on hold because of government intervention for 13 long years. And it seemed that it was impossible. But Zechariah comes and he begins to prophesy, listen, you're going to build this house because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. This mountain of opposition will be removed by my spirit, says the Lord, so you can build what God has called you to build. It's the Holy Ghost, is that right? I want to thank God for the power of his spirit that's on us individually and then multiplied because it's on all of us corporately, that enables us to do what God's called us to do, isn't it? Awesome. I love the Holy Ghost. Come on, give God a hand. It's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. It's awesome. Okay. So you're chosen to build and you're willed to build. You're filled to build. But the third point is this, you're skilled to build. Skilled. Do I get a glory? Amen. Come on. Okay. Now look at this. Chapter 35, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God and with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, and all this other good stuff. You see, this guy, Bezalel, had a skill set that was unique to him, just like you have a skill set which is unique to you. Now, I suppose, you know, there's things that we'd like to be that we're not. But God has placed in you, you know, I think when God created the worlds, he placed resources in this planet. Iron and coal and oil and bauxite, whatever that is. I haven't got a clue what it is, but I'll carry on. Zinc and all this stuff. He placed these resources in the earth, knowing that for thousands of years, mankind would never be able to access those raw materials that he had placed deep within the earth. But he knew that a few thousand years into history, mankind would develop the skills and the technology to be able to access the resources he had placed in the earth. Now, I want you to think about yourself for a second. God has placed resources, skills, talents, and abilities deep within your life, within your psyche. You've got a unique skill set. Before you were saved, you didn't use them for God's glory. But then when you meet Christ, the calling and will and skills that God has placed in you begin to kick in so you can do something, you can bring something to the table to build God's kingdom here on earth. Amen. That's awesome. It's awesome. But you know, if you're like me, you know, I'm always looking at what I don't have and thinking, you know, like once I was preaching at the city and I was preaching this message in the city and, you know, the musos had left guitars on stage, very dangerous when I'm about because I'm a frustrated rock and roller and I picked up one of the guitars and I wish I'd been a guitar player, I wish I'd been a muso, You know, like, and you know, I wouldn't have just been a nice jazz player. But I would have been whipping. Whip it up and whip it good has always been my policy. You know, I would have been rocking on. But that's not me. That's not my skill set. Unfortunately, what was God thinking when he left that one out? I wish that was my skill, but it's not. And all the muse, and thank God, can we give the musos a hand? They're using their skills to build God's kingdom. And then I looked in the first couple of rows at our city campus, and there was a whole bunch of guys there who had the skill set that I wish I could have. And more importantly, Kerry, my wife, wishes I had this skill set. The ability to make lots of money. There were all these millionaire businessmen sitting there, and God had given them this skill set, and they generate all this finance, which they enjoy, but they also use for the glory of God to build the house of God and extend God's kingdom. Anybody wish they had that gifting in their life to make millions of dollars? We'll have an altar call at the end of the meeting. Amen. No, and I wish I had that skill set, but that's not my skill set. And then I look back on the sixth row on my left, there was Jason Stevens, who used to play rugby league for New South Wales and Australia. And I feel like ringing him up this week to say, dust the boots off, Jace, they need you for 2 weeks' time. But anyway, there's Jason Stevens, and he's 6'4", he's huge, he's tough, I wish I had that gifting. I would have loved to have been a top football player. 6'4", and just running over the top of people. You know, just hurting, just people going bang, putting big hits on and just smashing them. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. But that's not my skill set. I'm not 6'4", I'm 5'4" and shrinking, you know. As long as your legs touch the ground, that's the most important thing, apparently. And I played a bit of football, but you know what? I wasn't that good. I wish I'd been a great football player, but that's not my skill set. Then I looked and I saw a guy that I hated the most in the city campus. Terence Mullins, the black supermodel male guy. Who came up to me once and said, "Have you got a band-aid?" I said, "No, why?" He said, "Oh, because this is cut." That's true. That's not a sermon illustration, this is a true story. I mean, what a gift from God to be ridiculously, really, really, really ridiculously good looking. I'd love to have had that skill set. Kerry wishes I had that skill set, but unfortunately I don't. Beauty is a curse with which I have not been afflicted. I fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. Come on. And next to him is Terence's wife, Emma, supermodel, pop star, TV presenter. Don't you hate people like that? They've got a skill and a talent from God. They host a TV show. They're influencers out in the world of TV. And that's awesome. That's their thing. I don't have those skill set. This is what I do. I preach the word of God. That's my skill set. I got to be happy. I got to be happy with who I am. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is what God made me. What's God made you? What's your skill set? What can you do that I can't do, that Terence can't do, that Jason Stevens can't? Because you've got a skill set from God to do something that's unique to you, to build God's kingdom here on earth, and you can bring something significant in your life to the table of God. Give God a hand for the skills he's given you. It's awesome. You've got to be skilled to build, but you've got to be willing to build. You see, there's a lot of talented people around, a lot of anointed people around, a lot of people who have chosen by God who are around, but they're not willing to come and serve God. With all that talent and all that ability, they refuse to use it for God for whatever reason. Chapter 36, verse 2, then Moses summoned Bezalel and Eliab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability, point one, but the second thing you need, had given ability, and who was what? Willing. Turn to your neighbor and say, willing. You've got to have a willing heart. And this is a constant theme in the preceding chapter, or Exodus chapter 35. Verse 5 of 35 says, Moses speaking, from what you have. And this is important. This is rising. This is vision builders. And we're not asking for what you don't have. We're asking for what you do have. Verse 5, from what you have, take an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring an offering. And then just across the page in verse 21, and everyone, 35:21, and everyone who was willing, everybody say willing, and whose heart moved him, came and brought an offering to the Lord for the service and for the sacred garments, for the tent of meeting. You've got to have a willing heart to do what God has called you to do. You see, God won't violate your freedom of choice. See, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created this incredible garden, the Garden of Eden. And there were two trees in it. There's a million trees, but there was the tree of life, but there's also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if mankind accessed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind would be destroyed. Now, if it had been me, if I'd been God and I'd created the world, I would have put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which could destroy the earth, I wouldn't have put it in the garden. I would have put it on top of Mount Everest. Right? So people would have to work really hard to get up there. Because mankind will be destroyed. And then on the top of Mount Everest, I'd put Mount Everest on a desert island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. With the Amazon River around, with filled, teeming with piranhas and alligators. With a swamp with mosquitoes the size of your fist. And then the Pacific Ocean teeming with white pointer sharks. So man wouldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and be destroyed and fall out of relationship with God. But oh no, not God. Where does he put it? Not only in the garden, the Bible says he put it in the middle of the garden. Why? So mankind, people like you and me, have to walk past that tree every day of our lives and out of a willing heart make a decision that we're going to follow and obey God and be the people God's called us to be. That's how he rolls. God's not going to take away your freedom of choice. God, that's a gift from God that he will not violate. But you need to come and say, you know what, with a willing heart, not out of obligation, not out of duty, but because I want to, I'm going to invest my life into the service of God and the community round about me and build something significant for God. You've got to be willing to build. And my last point, I'll just look at it briefly. You got to be willing to be part of a team to build it. Because Eliab didn't build the tabernacle by himself. As you follow this passage through, you'll see God speaks to Moses, who speaks to Bezalel, who speaks to Eliab, and they raise a team of skilled workers, and then every person who's willing, out of those 3 million people, they all come and they all bring what they've got to contribute. They're working as a great team. And Pastor Phil and Chris, they're the head, they're the leaders of this great team of people who are working together, employing their gifts and their abilities and their talents and their finances, working together as a unit and as a team to build something great for God. And what's the result? We see in verse 7 of chapter 36. Or actually, we'll go to verse 4 of chapter 36. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and they said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. To do all the work. And as I look around this auditorium this morning, you know what I see? I see a God who is not the God of lack or the God of poverty. I see a God who is the God of more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. And I see a bunch of people today who are a people that if everybody did what they could and brought what they had and everybody worked together, we'd have more than enough for vision builders. We'd have more than enough to build the house of God. We'd have more than enough for Beyond in our missions program overseas and to build a TV thing that can beam the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. God's the God, and this church is the church of more than enough. Isn't that awesome? Let's give God a hand. The God of more than enough. And I'll finish with this point. You know what? Most of those people, a lot of them died in the wilderness, and the next generation came through and inherited the promised land. But I want to say this. And I was just thinking about this morning. What's left of those people who were in the wilderness with Moses? They died or whatever. Or, and they entered the promised land, they died. But listen, what they did in building the house of God in the wilderness remained. Their work, that little bit of silver, that little bit of gold, that little bit of fabric that they knitted, the little bit of woodwork they did to build something, that remained and lives on. The work that you do as God's people in His kingdom will live on after you. That isn't it great to know that we live and we die and we go to heaven, but the gifting and talent that God has given us lives on throughout future generations in the ongoing, on-building kingdom of Almighty God. Our life is not without meaning and it's not without purpose. It has great purpose, and our works live on long after we've gone. Guys, I want you to know this, that you can bring something significant to the table of God, that you're chosen to build. You're anointed to build. You've got skills that can build. If you've got a willing heart and are prepared to work in a team, you can build something significant for God and extend His kingdom into all the ends of the earth. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Close our eyes.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.